Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission Ministry and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models. Role models of people who take very bold steps in their work life. This is a very special month, the month of May, which is designated as both National Physical Fitness and Sports Month and also Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. As such, we have with us today a very, very special guest. Her name is Lane D'Souza. Lane was born and raised in Hong Kong and was educated in England, earning a BA from the University of Wales. She believes all her travels make her a child of the universe. Her home is where the family is. Lane lived in New York City, where she worked as an actress and as a certified personal trainer, and has been working in the fitness industry for the past 23 plus years. Lane is also an author, having written a wonderful book entitled Confidence Unleashed, Be the Unstoppable Hero of Your Own Heart. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Lane.
Thank you. What a wonderful pleasure it is to be on your show.
Oh, the honor is all ours. Kindly tell the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from this morning, please.
So I am in Florida, and I'm at the northern part, the Panhandle, near Destin, but actually much more rural in a place called Laurel Hill, where I have a ranch with my husband. We are I'm a first-generation rancher, and he has grown up on a cow kettle ranch. So together we are doing something completely new and exciting together, building our ranch.
Wow, you've just made this host and the listeners very, very jealous. So that's for sure. It sounds like paradise. Sadly, Lane, we've only got 30 minutes. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. Now, in honor of National Physical Fitness and Sports Month, this month of May, can you kindly share some insights on the mental, physical, and spiritual benefits of incorporating fitness into our daily routines? Help us out here, please.
Yeah, so I do believe that exercise is a gateway drug. And what I mean about that is that it teaches us so much about everything. So not only the physical aspects of creating immunity and building skeletal muscle, which is so important, especially as we age, as protection for our organs and our bones, our skeleton bones, but also just the ability to have mental fitness. It really teaches us to have faith, and meaning that if you learn how to show up every day without having that instant gratification, without having that immediate result, but you show up every day knowing that it will come, it's teaching you to have faith. And it also teaches you confidence. You're learning to trust your own body in moments for life. Say there's things that you might not know that you can overcome, and you do something in your life that you're like, wow, I can do that. And you start to trust your own body. There's just so many benefits of exercise. And I do believe that all mental health professionals should be putting that exercise on their prescription at least 3 times a week for people who have suffering trauma or any kind of borderline personality, because exercise really does oxygenate the brain And also, like, even if it's as simple as going out for a walk in nature, it helps ground us. It takes our mind off our stress. It also prepares us for life. When we put ourselves under pressure by choice and we overcome that, then we know we can handle stress from outside life. It really is just a gift from the gods in all ways of healing, healing our bodies, and knowing that you can kind of control and choose your health, and we can choose our thoughts also. So I really believe that exercise is a gift.
You got that right. I know there have been times in my life when I have not exercised. There have been times in my life when I have, and the times that I have been much better than the times I
Right,
haven't.
and we get stuck on this idea that exercise has to be a certain thing of 45 minutes or an hour, and it has to look this way. And it can be as simple as just dancing in your living room, moving your body, moving that energy that gets stuck, moving your mindset. Just like I said, simply going for a walk in the sunshine or in the rain kind of wakes you up. It can be anything as long as you're just moving your body and getting yourself into a different mindset, changing your perspective. And that's really what it is. We can stay stuck and stagnant in our bodies, in our minds, and how we're seeing things. And exercise kind of shakes things up by making you move in a different way, mentally and physically.
Oh, that's so awesome, certainly. Now, you were a trainer in New York City. When you were, how did you approach training women with a focus on mind, body, spirit, wellness, rather than just physical transformation? Share with us,
Right.
please.
Yeah. So amazingly enough, training women in New York City was kind of surprising to me, because there are all these women that walk around New York City and they just seem to have this confidence about them. And they're just these badasses who've got like everything figured out. They're like got these amazing jobs where they're making like $100,000. They've got a therapist. They've got, everything figured out. And then when they start to feel uncomfortable by going into like maybe a gym that some people feel uncomfortable in, it's not their, normal place of where they feel comfortable in. It was my goal to always make people feel safe. So a lot of people, they hold trauma in their bodies, in their cells. And by moving energy, a lot of healing happens. And so my goal was to always make people, whether it was women or not, feel safe in that gym or with me in their environment. So it seemed that our sessions weren't just like, okay, 10 bicep curls, 10 rows, 10 presses. It was always like a moving of energy, a moving of spirit, a moving of minds. And they would be able to confide in me things that had happened to them or how they felt about their bodies. And what was really surprising to me about these women on the outside that look so confident is that they had this self-loathing about their bodies and, a judgment against their bodies that they didn't look the way they wanted to look, or they weren't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was so shocking to me that I was like, wait, what? And so this journey of training women was more about trying to show them that their bodies were magnificent, and it didn't matter what number on the scale or what they thought that they should look like. It was about the gift of having this body and the ability and the privilege of moving your body. And slowly over time, people get set on this number. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to be 125 pounds. They would get stuck on this number. And I would try to remind them that, just show up, do the exercise, and give yourself a year of commitment, and just see what your body does when you give it this structure of exercise. And so many of them would allow themselves to start to become in the moment as opposed to result-based. Like, I need to work out 3 times a week. And if I do, within 6 months, I should have abs. And it was like, no, let's just be in this moment and learn to move our bodies. And in a year, see what your body does when you nurture it with the right food and the right movement. And then they would be like, okay. And it started to take the focus off needing to have the result as opposed to the freedom of being in this moment and like allowing yourself to go for what you actually want as opposed to what you think you want.
Oh, that is absolutely awesome. Now, as I said in the introduction, you grew up in Hong Kong. That's amazing. Does your personal experience of growing up in Hong Kong influence your approach to training and wellness? And if so, how? Please, Lane.
Yeah, so I think I was very blessed growing up in Hong Kong because I had the best of both worlds. I was exposed to Western and Eastern medicine. And, you know, what was great about that is, you know, there's so much good from both sides. And, you know, I remember my dad was very athletic and he would play racquetball and squash and pickleball. And one day he'd hurt his arm and he had went to this Chinese doctor, and the Chinese medicine doctor said, "Oh, you've done this. Take this stick soup and put it in your stuff and let me see your arm." And he felt his arm and he was like, "Oh, it's braided." So he was literally unbraiding the muscles in his forearm. And my dad said, "Wow, he felt better straight away." And it's like things like that that we don't do in the Western world. Go see someone that maybe we call it massage, but to have that ability to feel the tendon was stuck and all of this. And what a gift to be able to be exposed to acupuncture and these kind of medicines, acupressure and ways of wellness, as opposed to just one side. And it's funny because I remember I when I was in New York, I got sick and I went to see a doctor who was a Western doctor, but he was from Japan. And he looked in my ears and he said, "Oh, did you grow up in the water?" And I said, "Yes, how did you know that?" And he said, "You have very small ear canals. And when your body is growing up and it's exposed to different environments, it adapts to the environment." And I thought that was such an amazing thing because we don't realize how amazing our bodies are. And they do, again, physically and spiritually adapt to our circumstances. So yeah, that was just one of the most amazing things for me to be able to have both worlds.
Wow, that is truly amazing. Now, tied into this is the next question, reflecting on the significance certainly of May as Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. How can we highlight the role of traditional sports and physical activities from these cultures in promoting overall well-being? I'm sure we're going to learn a lot from you right now as we have the first part of this interview.
Yeah, so what was amazing is growing up in Hong Kong, I was exposed to different kinds of sports that I played also. But what was very big was international rugby. So we would have rugby players that would come and play in these international competitions. And what really made a stamp on my heart was watching a team called the All Blacks. Now, I don't know if anyone's heard of them, but that is New Zealand. But they have a lot of Hawaiian and, you know, islands, Samoan people come and play. And before the game, they do a thing called the haka dance. And it literally is the most amazing thing that I've ever watched. And what they do is they do a dance and they're calling in their ancestors. And it is like very intimidating for the opposition to watch this, but they literally are like singing this song and tapping and banging on their bodies and making these faces and closing their eyes and getting a connection to their ancestors. So for them, it's not just a game. They're literally going to war and remembering the past of their ancestors that have given up so much for them to be here where they are now. And there's so much significance in just a simple game of rugby for different cultures. And it is so powerful. I mean, if anyone gets a chance to YouTube, go to the haka dance and it will give you chills on your skin. And I love that kind of thinking because, you know, there are moments where we can get stuck in our life and, you know, we can think my ancestors didn't sacrifice what they sacrificed for me to just play small or to have a small mindset. It really does connect us to other worlds and connect us to our past and also help us propel us to our future. And, you know, a lot of island people, they're very strong and their bodies are made for what they've experienced on different islands. And you see them. And if you go to other states, Utah is big. There are a lot of people from Samoa and they play volleyball, you know, and they play rugby, they play soccer, they play all of these games, not soccer, but basketball. You see them. And they are like these big, beautiful, like athletic Amazonian people, and they're just built for sport. I remember when I came to America, though, and it was so crazy to me to in Hong Kong and in England and places where I grew up, it was all about the game. Whereas I came to America and I went to a hockey game, and every 2 minutes we're stopping and we're having lights and commercial breaks and all this stuff. Yes. And I was like, wait, why are they stopping the game? I just want to play the game.
Oh, that's amazing. And I really resonated with everything you just said, in particular about sacrifice, the sacrifice, this being the month of May, my late mother and my grandmother's made for me, certainly. And that's a real good reminder to all of us. We can't think small. We really have to think big. As you say, confident, unleashed, be the unstoppable hero of your own heart, as you've titled your book so beautifully. Now, I think you talked a little bit about this before, but if it's okay with you, Lane, I want to peel the onion on this one, because there seems to be body dysmorphia, if I'm saying it right, and self-loathing that you witnessed office present, the women you train. What strategies do you employ to build confidence and self-love, especially for women who might be feeling that way?
Yeah, so this is big and close to my heart, because I also suffered from this, you know, growing up as a child, and I don't know where it came from. It wasn't necessarily like anything that was put onto me. I think that I created that pressure for myself. And, you know, I was dyslexic. I'm dyslexic. So growing up academically for me was not strong. And I always had that ability to fall back onto my physical abilities and playing sport. And then when I didn't get into the Olympics, that kind of, you know, was very defining for me, because I had put all my definition of who I thought I was on this external thing.
Oh,
and
wow.
Realizing that nothing external defines us. We are who we are with our choices and how we respond to things. And I believe that, you know, learning, confidence is not given to us as people. We have to cultivate that as a quality. And I think that learning to be confident is a mixture of the inside and the outside. It's that little voice. Sometimes you can barely hear it. It's that little voice that reminds you that God has his hand on your back. And sometimes we really can't hear it. It's so quiet. But the more we can quiet ourselves, we can hear that. And then the mixture of overcoming ourselves on the outside and doing things that we didn't think that we could, because we limit ourselves, and then we do something that's really hard, it builds that confidence and that trust. And I think that teaching women that they can do hard things, whether it be inside a gym or trusting their bodies and learning that what you, your job doesn't define you, your bank account doesn't define you, your number on the scale does not define you. These numbers don't define you. What defines you is your choices and how you choose to live your life, what you want to do with your life, and how you overcome things is really what defines us. And it's just an unlearning.
That is really amazing. Absolutely, totally wonderful. Now, this great book, speaking of absolutely wonderful, Confidence Unleashed, Be the Unstoppable Hero of Your Own Heart. Would you like to share an anecdote from this great book that illustrates maybe the journey of transforming self-esteem and confidence for us? Would you be willing to do that, Lane, please?
Sure. So for me, I remember when I was young, I would get made fun of. You know, I had these legs that were made for running, and they were very like strong and muscular. And I remember one, when I was growing up, you know, the boys would make fun of me. They were like, thunder thighs, thunder thighs.
And
I know, it's funny, because kids can be cruel, and it really doesn't, later as we grow older, we realize that it doesn't matter. But at the time, it like hurt me. And so I remember being really upset, and I went home to my dad, and he kind of said, what's wrong? And I told him, thunder thighs. And he kind of helped me change my perspective about my body. And he was like, we need to be grateful, because there are people that don't have legs, or people that have gone to war for us that are injured or maimed, and they don't have one, you know, they don't have a limb. And also just believing that, wow, he made me think thunder. Thunder is something that is like powerful and beautiful. And he made me realize, well, thunder thighs, that's strong, that's powerful. That's a compliment. So it's really how we hear things, and the ability to change our perspective on things is a growth mindset. And I really believe that that's what I'm trying to speak to in the book. Not everything is fixed. And if we stand over here, we might see the light. If we stand over there, we might see the darkness. And it really is the ability to not get so fixed and to be able to move our minds and our bodies and change the way we think in order to create the life that we want.
Oh, wow. At the end of the program, naturally, we'll ask you how our listeners can get this great book. But we've got a couple more questions. We've got about 10 more minutes. We still have some very important questions for you. Now, as a Franciscan, naturally, mindfulness, meditation, really, really important. Something, and becoming a Franciscan brother after a long career in pharmaceuticals, these have changed my life. In your experience, Lane, how does incorporating mindfulness, meditation into training session benefit individuals beyond the physical fitness?
Yeah, so this is really important. I think that, you know, my book does speak to people that comes from trauma too. And it seems that, you know, I haven't met one person yet walking the planet that hasn't suffered some kind of trauma, whether it be a loss or something that they've experienced. So it seems that we mindfully can speak to all people here. And I think that sometimes when we are so trauma bonded that we respond through life from our trauma because we haven't healed, it makes us trigger and we respond to things like not in a way that we want. And I think that meditation is an amazing gift. I mean, physically, physiologically, it can show what it does for the central nervous system. It, you know, calms the body. It literally takes your body out of fight or flight, which is the trauma response. And it helps you calm your central nervous system. It creates so many physiological benefits. But beyond that, it also puts you in a place of quiet, because our minds and our lives are constantly go, go, go. And it's the ability to learn to be the master of your mind. Our minds are the ones trying to tell us what to do. And if we sit long enough to just kind of be in this moment, whether it had the sun on your back, I believe the wind listening is God speaking to us. And we're always asking, it seems, through prayer, God, give me strength, help me do this. Whereas you feel like meditation is really where you get to listen to what God is speaking to you. And sometimes when we're trauma bound, we can't sit still. Our heads are going so much. So I think learning to have like a moving meditation is really good for some people that don't know how to sit quietly yet. So a moving meditation could be anything like just sitting on a bike and moving your legs, or taking a walk, a gentle jog, a swim, and calming the mind that way. So you can create that space where you can have a moment of peace and silence. But just going in and attacking meditation for some people, it's really, really hard. And if it was easy, we'd all be doing it. But creating ways that you can slowly enter it, and it, again, mindfully not being what you think it should be or what you think meditation should look like, it can be anything for some people. Like I said, a moving meditation. And, you know, somatic healing is also a wonderful way to help people get into a way of meditation or a practice of meditation, which is also moving the body and releasing trauma through our cells, and then for them to be able to sit and know that I'm creating space where you and I can have a conversation, whereas I don't have to take on your energy and take on whatever's going on for you, but learn that I'm a separate entity. And I know that that's a big thing for a lot of trauma or post-traumatic trauma bonded people. So I think meditation will create that for them, that ability to create a little bit of space so they can be connected to our creator.
Oh, no question about that. And I'm feeling even more relaxed than when we started, thanks to you, Lane. I'm sure our listeners are as well. If you don't mind me asking, can we ask you please to share maybe a personal struggle or setback you faced in your journey as a trainer and how may shape your approach to coaching and supporting others, which you do in such a wonderful way.
Yeah, so it's funny because when I lived in New York City, a lot of the fitness industry is not what we think it is. You know, just like anything, I went in there thinking that health and fitness was all about fitness and health and, you know, it being your health. And so much of what we see in the fitness industry is not health. I remember when I first got to New York City and I was in a very trendy gym that was very corporate based. And at the time, men and women shared a locker room, and this was 25 years ago.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I saw a man inject into his bicep some steroids, and right there and then his bicep grew, and all the boys were sitting in the locker room eating McDonald's, and then they would go and tell their clients, oh, eat chicken and broccoli, you know. And it was just a two completely different things. And it's like, wow, for me, it was very hard to realize that health and fitness is two very different things. And the fitness industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. And it performs really well keeping people confused. You know, that's how they make their money. If you're confused, do I need to buy this different program? Do I need to have this new diet? Do I need these leggings? Do I need, do I need, do I need? And that's also a selling thing. Whereas if we just come back to, let's move our body and choose foods that feel good to our bodies and learn when we're feeling sad or unhappy or nervous or fearful that we're just misaligned to our true self and coming back to our true alignment with food, meditation, exercise will help us make better choices. And any of those choices that help us not, that when we're not feeling good, then we're just misaligned. And to ask myself, do I feel good? Does this make me feel good? And am I overeating or am I sabotaging myself with things because I'm not in alignment. I'm not doing the things that make me feel good because I need to heal something. So these are just little signs for us. And if we just take a moment, put our hand on our heart and listen to our bodies and our feelings and what's going on for us, we can make better choices for ourselves.
That is such terrific advice. It sounds like, Lane, if I perceive correctly, we need to be self-aware. We need to pay attention to what our body, our mind, our heart are telling us. Have I perceived that correctly?
Correct. Just taking a moment to honor what we have been given, which is this gift of this moment, this life, this breath, and realizing that it all comes down to gratitude and that if there's many things to be grateful for, even when we're feeling like there's not. And it could be as simple as taking three deep breaths, grounding our feet to the ground and saying thank you.
So funny, because in my own life, I know when I'm going well, that I'm just concentrating, just like right now in this wonderful conversation we're having. When I'm not going so well, I'm feeling guilty about the past, or I'm worried about the future. And neither are good places to be, that's for sure. Lane, we've saved the most important question for last. From where can our loyal listeners purchase a copy of Confidence Unleashed? Unstoppable Hero of Your Own Heart. How can they best follow you, please?
Yeah, so they can buy this book on Amazon. You can buy it on Barnes & Noble's online. It's online at Target. It's online at Walmart. It's distributed worldwide. So you can just go online and you can pick up a copy. And I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. Lainey D'Souza on Facebook. Lainey Live, Laugh, Love on Instagram. And I would love to connect with anyone who has questions or wants to give me a review on their book, what they think of it. So I'm, again, what a privilege to have this conversation with you today.
The privilege and pleasure is all ours. Listeners, I want to give you the correct spelling of our very special guest today. Laine, capital D, apostrophe, capital S, O-U-Z-A, Confidence Unleashed, Be the Unstoppable Hero of Your Own Heart. We've got a great Franciscan with us today. She could have just held on to the good. No, what did she do? She wrote this great book. She came on Thank God for Money. Now it's your turn. For this special month of May, National Physical Fitness and Sports Month, Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander Heritage Month, buy one copy of this for yourself. Buy more copies. Give these as gifts to celebrate this very, very special month of May. You'll change people's lives. You'll change your lives. And in essence, you'll change the world, certainly. Lainey D'Souza, we can't thank you enough for coming on Thank God for Monday today. We've been enlightened much more. We've been inspired. Continued joy, success, happiness, and contribution to change a world that is in need of transformation, especially in these areas that we talked about today. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when we wake up on Monday morning, just like Lainey does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.